Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him radio program. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is, Will You Be Counted Worthy to Escape the Things to Come? You know, we live in really sobering times, don't we? We are in the end part of the end times, and I think everybody who's paying any attention, who knows anything at all about the Word of God, can see how late the hour is. Already, the spirit of Antichrist is prevalent in the world. Last Wednesday, Argentina legalized abortion. I wanted to cry when I read the news and saw the zealous cheers of the women. Judgment is so near, we can almost hear its footsteps outside our doors, and yet so many are still lost in the darkness of sin. Those of us who know what time it is and what is coming can't help but think about it. I walk around thinking, have I done all I can? Am I in sin in any area? Could I be left behind having overlooked some area of sin? Will I really get into heaven? I thought it was just me until I talked to a friend of mine in California last week, and she said she's constantly double-checking herself as well. We are both women who greatly fear God, and we know every person has to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2:12-16, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of light, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. We want to be absolutely certain we are doing our best and doing right in every area. So this got me to thinking. We all are thinking about what's coming. And how can we not, since it's right at our doorsteps? I mean, it's so obvious what's happening in the world, and especially in the U.S. where I live. And the question on our minds is, how much of what's coming will I be here for, and am I strong enough to endure it? And we know, we're told, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That's Luke 21:36. Let's read that in context. I'm going to read Luke 21:34-37. This is Jesus himself speaking. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and with drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. Luke 21 is kind of a parallel of Matthew 24, where Jesus tells us what's coming in the end. So the context of these verses are for our time, which tells us that we, more than any generation before us, need to be watching and praying so we will be counted worthy to escape what's coming. And I don't know about y'all, but I've seen some of what's coming, and I don't want to be here for it. If I had my wish, nobody I care for would be here for it. But I think it's really up to us whether we are here or not for what I call the horror show. When Satan comes down to earth, evil will reign and the people of God will suffer horribly. The people who are left here will suffer horribly. Those who believe in the end will all end up being martyred. Some will deny him to save their temporary hides and then lose their souls and be turned over to Satan and the demons for all eternity. Eternity's a long time, y'all. There is no exit door in hell. When you get there, you're there, and that's it. That's a one-way ticket. I'm just saying, the time to think about that is now. If you are in sin, you should be scared out of your wits. If you are shacked up with somebody, not married to him, if you're committing adultery or doing any sin, you need to get right so you don't take any chances on going there, because none of us know how much time we have. And, you know, the Lord says, you know, I'm going to come like a thief in the night. So we need to be sure before we go to sleep at night that we're right. Everything's right. We've repented for anything we need to repent. Hopefully we're not sinning. We don't have to repent. We need to just be sure we're right, okay? I believe I visited hell one time since I moved to Arkansas. And I can still remember clearly the intense emotional pain of separation. And I tell you right now, you don't want to go there. Okay, so exactly how can we be counted worthy to escape all that is to come? That is the million-dollar question that I'm going to attempt to answer today. First, let's start by looking at the meaning of the word translated worthy in Luke 21:36. That is the Greek word kataxiao, and it means worthy or entirely deserving. It appears three other places, and it is translated worthy in each one of them. Let me read you those verses. Luke 20:35, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Acts 5:41, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. 2 Thessalonians 1:5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. So to be worthy means to be totally deserving. And of course, we know it is the sacrifice of Jesus that makes us deserving of salvation. Let's don't get that twisted. But we must also have a part to deserve escaping the horrors to come. Otherwise, Luke 21:36 would not say, pray that you'll be counted worthy to escape those things that are to come. Okay? I've been praying about this a lot because I also wanted to understand what makes us worthy. And I was looking at Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 to 9. So also Christ glorified not himself. This shows great humility, because even as a child, Jesus knew who he was. When his parents found him in the temple when he was only 12, and Mary said, what are you doing here? And he said, don't you know I have to be about my father's business? Since he was discussing scripture, not contracting to build anything, we know he wasn't talking about Joseph. To me, made a high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Okay, as he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. This shows Jesus truly feared God, and also that he spent time with God, okay? So we're looking at Jesus to see what is our, you know, example. He's our example in everything, right? Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. This shows Jesus submitted to refining. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So as I was pondering this subject of who will be counted worthy to escape, I began comparing the groups. One group, judged worthy, gets to leave early and avoid the horror show that's coming later. The other group, which the Lord has told us will be left behind for refining, has to stay for the late show, and they will not want to see it. The difference in the two groups is obvious. It's the refining. And that immediately made me think of the wilderness, since that is where many of us get refined. So it is obvious we need to submit to the Lord now for any refining he wants to do, and even seek him and ask him to do it before that time so we won't have to stay behind. And I say that, you know, he told us in some of the words that those who are left here for refining purposes. I don't want to be here for any of that, y'all. I want to have my work done and be done with refining and get to go home. My only sadness, and this is a great sadness in my heart, is that those I love that cannot go yet because they aren't ready. So I'm praying extra hard for them every single day. So I was emailing with Nicole about this podcast when I first started working on it, and she said faith in Luke 18:8. So yes, you must have real faith in him to be counted worthy to escape. I mean, the people without faith aren't going, okay? If you are lacking in faith, pray and ask him to increase your faith. Will the Son of Man find faith in the earth when he returns? Be sure he does find it in you, okay? People living lukewarm lives, not getting out of sin, wanting to give up the walk, those who put their hand to the plow and look back are unlikely to be found worthy of the kingdom. And Nicole brought that up. I was in worship Tuesday when I asked the Lord about who will get left behind and how can we not be part of that group. And I was just asking him, Lord, what makes some worthy to escape and not others? And you know, the Lord always answers us in very simple terms. And he gave me three words when I asked that question. I continued to worship and he just spoke three words right after I asked him. The first word he spoke to me was surrender. To surrender means to cease resisting. And that begs the question, what have you been resisting the Lord about? Be honest with yourself. And is it worth being left behind for the worst horror show that has ever happened in this world? We all resist the Lord at some point in our walk, if we are truly following him. That's just our flesh, our human nature, before it is crucified. But he is asking us to cease resisting him, to truly let go and surrender whatever we are resisting him on. Can you let go? Can you let him have that and take your hands off of it? The second word the Lord spoke to me was submit. To submit means to yield to authority. So you need to ask yourself, we all need to ask ourselves, what have we not been yielding? What authority in our life have we been refusing to submit to? And let me explain some about submitting to authority so it will make sense. This is one of the reasons we have to know the Word of God. You submit to authority like police, government, and any other authority in your life unless and until that authority tells you to do something that is against the Word of God. Then you submit to God, not them. This is very important to understand, especially in the time we live in. We never submit to a person or any authority if it means going against the Lord. Example. Let's say you're a female and you become pregnant, but the present authorities say you have to abort your child. We did not submit to that. Abortion is murder. I don't care how you dress it up or try to reword it. It is tearing an innocent little baby limb from its mother's womb, and it is murder. And after a certain number of months, they know those innocent little babies can feel pain in the womb while they're doing that. Can I really learn to yield to authority at all times, even when I dislike the authority that rules, to bring honor to the Lord? That's the question we all have to ask ourselves. Can I really do this? Y'all, we have to make many choices about submission, even now, but in the days to come, if Jesus tarries, even more. Especially here in the U.S., because our country is a mess. Y'all, it is a mess. It is spiraling into evil and chaos, and without mass repentance, we can't stop it. It is very important you understand that we are quickly approaching the time when many of your decisions, if you are living for God, will bring persecution. And we have to remember to rejoice when we're persecuted. The Word says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. When I'm being persecuted, I generally feel like doing anything but rejoicing. Can I just say that? But let's keep our focus where it should be and do our best. We are just temporarily, we're just temporarily traveling through the earth, okay? We get to go home soon, but those who refuse and reject him will not ever go home. Those, you know, no matter what we go through here, y'all, we get to get out of here at some point. We get to leave. The people who don't believe, the ones who mock us, who persecute us, the ones who will martyr us in that time, Or in this time, if it gets that bad, they're never going home. The enjoyment that they have here, the things they own, and the joy and the pleasure that, not even real joy, but pleasure and happiness they find here, is all they will ever have. Those who hate us for his name's sake, their recompense from him will be horrific. Their torture in hell will be horrific, and it will never end. They will go into darkness and never come out. We have to remember to pray, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Okay, the third word the Lord spoke to me was selfless. To be selfless is defined as having no concern for yourself. That means you're not worried about your rights. You're not concerned about everybody's going to have enough and you'll not have anything. In a nutshell, it means you're doing what you can for others and you trust God to take care of you. It means to get your mind off of you. We don't see much of that anymore, do we? Selflessness is related to true humility. Though we hear people say, oh, I'm humble, you know, and I humble myself all the time. The truth is, the truly humble will never call themselves humble. Did y'all know that? You will never see a truly humble person going, oh, yeah, well, I'm humble. No, if you're really humble, you ain't talking about how humble you are, all right? That's always pride when you hear that. Just so y'all know that. Y'all remember the definition the Lord gave me of true humility when I asked him years ago? He said it's the absence of self in all you think, say, and do. We should take the challenge to try not to think, talk, or do anything for ourselves. Like not even think about ourselves. I wonder if we can even do that for an hour. You know, because that's a big challenge because we live in a very self-centered society. The bottom line is what God wants from us has not changed. He wants us to stop resisting him. He wants us to yield to authority and to stop thinking about ourselves all the time and what we want and what we need and be concerned for other people instead, which is a sign of our total trust in him that he will take care of our needs. So I want you to ask yourself this week, can I truly surrender to him what I know he wants me to surrender right now? Can I learn to be selfless in our self-centered, self-focused society, in the age of the selfie? Can I start now to help others and truly trust him with whatever I need? Can I learn to live having no concern for myself? Let me tell y'all something. You're not going to magically start acting like that when all this starts going down. In that time, if you've not already trained yourself in these things, it will be too late. Can I just tell you that? Because that is going to be panic and chaos. So get that in your head, because that's not a time when you're going to suddenly turn and be this godly, noble person. It's not going to happen like that, okay? Let's be realistic. Let's keep it real. These are things that can take years to develop. But what they really take is focus and determination. If you really pay attention and you really set your mind that you're going to change in these ways and you ask the Lord for help, you can do it in the time that you have left. However long that is, none of us knows how long. I think the earth's going to be here a while longer. I just hope that I'm not on it, okay? I hope that those of us who are truly walking with the Lord get to go home to the marriage feast. I pray that that will include all the people that I love, because it grieves me so bad to think of them being left here for that dark time. Tell y'all something, I had a dream vision recently, and I don't remember if I told y'all about this or not. I'm working on so many things all at the same time, I forget what I've done, what I haven't done. I had a dream vision that I was walking through Woodward, and that was the last place that I worked when I was out traveling with my job in the oil and gas field. And I don't know why, but I was walking through the downtown area, and all of a sudden, it was getting darker, and there was some men that I knew had bad intentions that were at some distance behind me that were gathering up together. And all of a sudden it got dark, and then it got really dark. I mean, so dark you could not see to walk in front of you dark. And I remember feeling panic, like, okay, I can't see where I'm going. I don't know how to get home. And then all of a sudden I was home. Before I knew it, I was just, one second I was trying to find my way through the darkness, and then boom, I was home. And I thought about that for days after I had it, and I realized that it meant a couple of different things. One, it is going to get really dark, and it's going to happen really fast. And in that dream vision, there was no warning whatsoever that that storm was coming upon us. And it was like, y'all probably haven't ever seen this, but in Oklahoma, I remember a time that I was driving from the courthouse in, I think I was in Arnett County, so I had about a 45-minute drive back to Elk City. And on the way back, it was bad, bad tornado weather. And I didn't know because I'd been in the courthouse all day pulling books. And I remember I got the other side of Cheyenne, and I had about 25 or so minutes left to go, and the sky to the right of my car just went black. I'll probably illustrate this podcast with that picture so y'all can see it. I mean black. I mean dark. And I topped a hill, and down below were all these weather spotters for the news channels that were all parked off to the side of the road. So I pulled off to the side of the road to see what was going on and looked over, and a tornado starts dropping down. I got some great pictures of that tornado. Actually, they ran them in the paper in Elk City, in fact. That was how the column came to be. I became friends with the editor. I walked into the newspaper and I said, hey, y'all use these pictures. I got some good shots of this funnel dropping down. And he was the one later that came to me and said, hey, I think you should write a column. All right, so I have seen it go from being daylight to being almost dark without any warning, but that vision scared me because it came so fast. There was no weather report for that, okay? When the gross darkness falls, there's not going to be a warning. The warning is in His Word that we got over 2,000 years ago. That's the warning. There's not going to be another warning that says, hey, y'all need to, you know, get right because here it is. No, you better be right now. You better be right that day or that night when this comes, okay? And I'm going to read y'all something in a minute, too. I'm going to read you what he told me when I asked him about the rapture or second coming. I call it the second coming. So can we learn to live having no concern for ourselves? Can we feed someone else in need, even with the very last of our food in that time, if that's required of us? You're holding your last biscuit. You have nothing else and no place to get anything else from. All the food is gone. And here comes somebody that's starving to death. And you see them and God moves on your heart, give them that biscuit, that last biscuit. And then you have no food to eat after that and you're facing starving to death slowly. Could you do it? Could any of us do it? If He requires that of you, can you do it? Are we strong enough in faith to remember the woman who the oil and meal did not fail for the entire famine because she shared her last biscuit with Elijah? Can we really submit to authority when we don't want to, when we don't like the authority that's over us, as long as they're not asking us to do anything against the Word of God? Can we do it? These are difficult things for all of us, and they require us to take up our cross and follow Him. They require us to deny what our flesh wants to do and do what He wants instead, to obey Him and to properly represent Him in the earth. Help us, Lord God, to remember that our lives and our words and our behavior are going to be the only Bible some people will ever read. And help us to know, to really know, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And all of heaven is cheering for us when we make those right choices. Okay, before I close this, I want to read y'all something. I posted this on the Wings site when the Wings Just Praise Him site used to be Wings of Prophecy. When it first started on January 1st, 2011, I posted this, but it actually happened on May 3rd in 2008. I had been watching movies and reading stuff online and hearing stuff from people that I worked with about the rapture. And y'all know I'm not a rapture person. I've never been a rapture person. I would teach on it if I had revelation on it, okay? But this is what I know about it. I wrote down what he told me this day that I asked him about it. It was May 3rd, 2008, and I inquired of the Lord about the rapture or second coming. That's what I think of as the rapture. I had been reading about the end times and I wanted to better understand because I was getting confused because there's a lot of information out there. I was getting really confused about it. And I said, Lord, how will the others not know where we've gone when you take us up? Won't they hear you shout and the trumpet blast when you call us home to you? And he said, the others will hear a whooshing sound. That is all, for they cannot hear my voice or my trumpet as my children can. And Matthew 24:40-41 says, in one instant my children will be taken up, and the world will be cast into gross darkness. And you can look at Jeremiah 13:16 about gross darkness. Then shall my wrath fall upon those left behind in terrible ways, for they have denied me. They know not my ways nor my name. Nay, my children shall not be left behind to suffer my wrath in that time, for Jesus bore my wrath for you, but not for wicked unbelievers. A great and terrible day is coming in the earth. There shall be great confusion and rioting in that time, for those left behind will not know what to believe and will panic. They shall cry to me, but I shall not hear them, for I know them not, for they have already made their path and chosen their way. They shall live it, and my time of grace upon men will have ended. The beast shall arise upon the earth, and a terrible time will be such as nothing your mind could ever comprehend, for it is truly beyond the comprehension of man, to be given over into the hands of Satan himself and not die. But my children shall not see that day, for they will be here with me in heaven. This is probably when the unbelievers are given over into the hands of Satan, is probably that time in Revelation where it says that men beg God for death, but that they can't die. The rapture will indeed happen in the blink of an eye, as my word says. 1 second, two will be working together in a field, and the next second, one will be gone, and no one left on earth will know why. Their minds, too, shall I darken in those days. The gross darkness you saw in your spirit, that was a vision I had in January of that year during worship of a large dark blanket descending towards earth, will come, and they will have eyes that do not see and ears that do not hear. The gross darkness you saw in your spirit will come, and they will have eyes that do not see and ears that do not hear. So they won't even know the darkness came, because it's a spiritual darkness. They will blindly follow the Antichrist to their eternal destruction, because they have not known me nor called upon my name while there was still time. And I made a note on this. When I looked up scriptures containing the phrase gross darkness, there is one reference in the King James Version in Isaiah 60:2. For behold the darkness, that Strong's Hebrew 28:22 from the Hebrew word hesek, meaning death, misery, destruction, ignorance, sorrow, wickedness, or obscurity, shall cover the earth. And gross darkness, which is Hebrews 62:05, from the Hebrew arapel, and I'm probably saying those completely wrong, says it probably derived from 62:01, arap, meaning to drop down, meaning dark, dark cloud, darkness, gross darkness, or thick darkness. The people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. I believe that this was the meaning of the vision of the blanket of darkness that I saw descend. And God's glory is arising and shining ever brighter upon his bride in this time. So when I had that vision of the darkness in Woodward was the third vision that I've had of darkness. The first one was this one in 2008. The second one was, I think a couple of months ago, when I saw a big storm cloud vision. I saw a vision of a big storm cloud coming, and it was really low. And I looked at it, at the vision, I said, nobody can survive that. Nobody can survive it. It was really low. It was really black, and it had this white static in it. I can't figure out what the static meant. I know it meant something, because that's the only vision I've seen it in, but I don't know what it meant. And in that vision, I looked up and saw that coming, and then I looked down, and I was carrying somebody, and it's somebody that I know that I'm not that fond of, and they were naked. So that in a vision would mean they were uncovered. They did not have God's covering, so I was covering them. I was carrying them, which that is what we do when we intercede for someone who is unsaved. So that was the second vision I had of the darkness and the storm coming, and then the third one was the one in Woodward. In every vision I've had of it, it was a scary thing. The last two, it was really terrifying. They've gotten more and more terrifying, maybe because I understand better what's coming. And never have I seen the darkness and it not been a terrifying thing in a vision. You don't want to be here for that. So think about the things that are required for you to be counted worthy to escape, because you do want to escape that. You don't want to be here for that, because the people that are here for that, it is going to be a nightmare. It's going to be a nightmare you can't wake up from. That's all I have for y'all this week. Jesus bless you. Thanks for listening. Y'all have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax. If you ask anyone you know what the most difficult experience of their life has been, many will answer about a time of betrayal. All those called to walk the narrow path will at some point encounter Judas. How will you respond? Do you know how to recognize Judas when he shows up in your life? Can you keep Judas from bringing destruction to your life and ministry? How can you minimize what Judas cost you? Can you pass the test of absolute betrayal? Get your copy of The Judas Test, available in print, and new audiobook, The Judas Test by Glenda Lomax, available now on Amazon.com.
Sold out for 30 pieces of silver? In Exodus 21:32, it is the price of a dead slave. In Leviticus 27:2-7, it is the price of a live one. Jesus was sold for the price of a bondservant. Precious Jesus, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, why did Judas sell his friend out so cheap?
Have you heard? The 2016 and 2017 messages have been published in book form. Even those who do not profess a belief in God can see something is amiss in the world around us. What is coming for our world in these last days? What does the Lord want us doing while we're waiting for His glorious reappearance? Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night each contain approximately 200 prophetic messages and visions from the throne room of God telling what is coming to America and the world in these end times. The Lord has always warned nations when they were headed for destruction. He has always warned His own people. Are we also being warned? Get your copy of Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night, available now on Amazon.com.